Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today I'm proud to bring you Living Labyrinths with Athena Dugan. Greetings and welcome, Athena. How are you today?
Greetings. I am well. Thank you. I'm happy to be here tonight, and I have a great guest with me as well.
You always do, and I'm looking forward to today's show. If you need me, just holler. I'll be here.
Okay, sure thing. Okay, thanks, Hercules. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining in. Tonight, we're going to talk with labyrinth enthusiast and author Natalie Erdman Burton. Hello, Natalie.
Hello, Athena. Thank you so much for having me.
Great, and thank you for being here tonight. So, before we get started talking to Natalie, I just want to tell you a little bit about Natalie. She's an author of a book, a children's book, One Step at a Time, and we're going to find out more about that tonight. She's a fiber artist and embroidery artist. She's a mother of five, and she started embroidering her finger labyrinths in 2017, not long after walking a full-size labyrinth for her first time. And her finger labyrinths quickly became popular with her children and a common tool and metaphor for handling big feelings in their home. So Natalie's going to offer and share her One Step at a Time children's book with us tonight. And it, with her book, it offers insight as children walk through life. So Natalie is also a birth doula. She's a wardrobe designer for stage and film, and she's also a Veriditas trained labyrinth facilitator. She lives in Mapleton, Utah with her husband, five kids, and a labyrinth that they built all together, which is great, and we'll talk more about that as well. So welcome again, Natalie. It's good that you can be here with us tonight.
Thank you so much. It's so fun to hear all those things said by someone else. It makes me feel like I'm pretty fancy.
All right. Well, yeah, you have like amazing like experience behind you with the labyrinth and also being a birth doula and a wardrobe designer for stage and film. And the mix of it all, you also became a trained labyrinth facilitator. Now, did all these things that you're doing lead up to the labyrinth, or was it something separate? And I guess what I want to find out is, how did you first come to the labyrinth?
Sure. Well, I've always been someone who has wanted to learn a lot of things. When I come across a subject that feels a little bit interesting to me, I just want to find everything I can and take a class and read all the books and really dive into it. And my first exposure to sort of the realm of mindfulness was in childbirth education. I took a childbirth hypnosis class and then became a birth doula. And that's where I really learned the power that the mind has and the importance, the power of intention, the mind-body connection. All of those things became really clear to me. And through the births of my own children and then as a birth doula, understanding that connection, and that was sort of my first step, you could say, into my own labyrinth and into this journey for myself. And then a few years later, I started studying actually chakra work with a dear now friend and mentor named Syl Carson, and she has a yoga studio in Provo, Utah, and also teaches many different things. And she has a beautiful Chartres replica labyrinth in her backyard. And so when you take a class from her, you have the opportunity to come and walk her labyrinth, and that's the first time that I walked. And I was just amazed by the effect and the impact that such a simple thing as walking had on me. But it wasn't simple, it was grand at the same time. And what was this, you know, macro and micro view all at once of my life happening here? And I was really fascinated by the labyrinth. So I did go ahead and start researching more, as I am wont to do. I wanted to learn more about labyrinths. And I stumbled upon Lars Howlett's YouTube videos on how to draw your own and some of his presentations he's given and things like that. And that led me to start stitching my finger labyrinths. So I would have something tactile. I wanted one that I could feel the ridges on, but that was soft on my hands. I love natural fibers. I've always loved working with wool, and that's what I stitch all of my labyrinths with. And that's sort of how it came to be. I knew I couldn't walk one every day because it was too far away, so I needed to, another way, so I made one.
Oh, wow. That is an excellent journey, and I love that. It's like through birth you had the transition and transformation of working with the labyrinth in a way, which is kind of interesting, because the labyrinth, like how the path or the circuits is, sort of reminds me of, it could be like an umbilical cord to creation, you know.
Yes.
To making,
yes,
that going through,
and
that
the first pattern that I started stitching, the first labyrinth that I stitched, my first probably 20 finger labyrinths that I did myself, were the Chakra Vayu labyrinths with the spiral in,
wow,
the middle. And they always looked like that umbilical cord, like that placenta or like the baby growing. And, yeah, that was definitely an early connection for me.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Now, yeah, for those of you who aren't too familiar with the labyrinth designs, and there's thousands of designs, and Natalie and I'll talk about those a little bit later, but the Chakra Vayu is like a spiral, and it looks very earthy, very motherly. And sort of like, for me, the chakra, especially like the classical design in a Chakra Vayu, they seem very feminine, very like motherly, very down into the earth. It's like, it seems like very chthonic and like giving birth to change and to transformation, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and I think that too, as I learned more about the labyrinth and worked more with it, one of the things that I realized is there were these lessons that I was continually learning throughout my own life experiences, through some of the hard things that I went through in my life and in my marriage. You know, we've had some periods of separation in my marriage where things didn't look like they were going to go very well. And there were a lot of things that I learned during those times. And the metaphors that I found in the labyrinth really encapsulated those lessons in such a beautiful way. The idea that we're walking as individuals and we make our own path and we make our own choices, but at the same time, we're not alone and everyone is walking and you have support. So that balance of individualism and community, you know, I found in the,
yeah,
labyrinth. The knowledge of knowing you don't have to know how it ends right now to keep walking, to take one step at a time. Just take one step. When things are their very hardest, just take one step. And then the one that's the most powerful to me and really was transformative for me is, I used to share this all the time with different women that I would talk with about my own challenges as they would share theirs with me, and we'd sit together and I'd listen to their stories and share my experiences. The most important thing that I would tell them is that making a new choice tomorrow doesn't mean you made the wrong choice today. It just means you're doing the best you can with the information you have. And those 180-degree turns of the labyrinth, to me, were proof and validation of that as a deep truth. Does that make sense? That
yeah.
You can turn a completely opposite direction 5 steps later. That doesn't mean you're not going the right way. And for me, it had been so hard to feel like this must be not be the right choice because it's different than what I thought I was going to do. It's different than what I already told someone I was going to do, you know. But to wow. surrender to that path and that balance again of will versus surrendering to what is. And
right.
all of that balance in the labyrinth is what I'm after in my entire life, and that's why I love it so much.
Wow, that's very intense and is very transformative too. Now let me ask you, so when you first started walking the labyrinth, do you find that you work with it differently now, or has how you walked it changed, or when you came to the realization of taking one step at a time, was that always your intention when you first started walking?
I definitely have evolved over time. And really it depends, I think, where I'm at in my life. Recently, I hadn't taken a walk in a long time, and I was kind of avoiding it because I hadn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is good for me. This is my spiritual practice. I should be doing this. I should be walking more. It's why I put one in my front yard, you know, so I could walk it more often. And having sort of that guilt and some of that sort of leftover religious guilt that kind of hangs over your head of like, I'm supposed to do these things. And so I stood on the threshold stone of our labyrinth, and I all of the things that I've learned about walking were rushing through my head. Should I pick an affirmation? Should I pick a question? Should I pick a negative statement to come in and see what happens with it? Just rushing thoughts. And finally,
wow.
I just took a step in, and after that first turn, it's a 7-circuit medieval. After that first
wow.
turn, you walk straight, and then it looks like a flower petal, like a flower leaf, right? That first
right.
turn. And as soon as I hit that first turn, it was as if the labyrinth rose up to meet me and said, you don't have to bring anything. Just come. Just be here.
Wow.
And
beautiful.
I was like, okay, let go. You know, like,
yeah.
I need to not manage this. And so that's the beauty of the labyrinth, is that it meets you where you are. And I've had the walks where I'm walking and thinking, goodness, haven't I made it to the middle yet? This is taking forever.
Right.
Or I had one particular walk when I was at the Veriditas summer school, and I remember on that walk, it was so important to me to walk at my own pace no matter what anyone else on the path was doing. And I passed people, and people passed me, but mostly I passed people instead of slowing my pace to walk the way they were walking, but I was feeling energized. I was feeling like I wanted to move quickly through it, and so I let myself do that, and it mm-hmm. felt so empowering. Okay, I can choose to move through life at the pace I need to, and everything else will adjust. Everyone will be okay if I move through life at my pace.
Mm-hmm.
And another walk that same week where I ended up dancing through the whole labyrinth and felt like I was 5 years old and just twirled at each turn. And I was like, if anyone walks up that hill right now, they're going to think I'm a crazy person. And you know what? It's going to be okay.
Right. Yeah, it's great. Like when you walk the labyrinth, you walk without guilt or you walk without non-judgment, and you allow the, I mean, I think it's great when you allow the walk to be strictly your own, even if there's other people walking on the path. I mean, that's the beauty of it, though. You can still share the journey without, like, you know, being in anybody's
yes.
way, because it's your, you know, it's such a communal path at the same time. You know, this is where community is built, you know, walking together, you know, without judgment. And I think it's beautiful that you're able to dance your labyrinth as well, you know, and bring about that childlike, you know, quality out of yourself.
Yeah.
And that's like being there as you are, you know, being in that space
yes.
at that time. And that I think is the beauty of the labyrinth. And that, it sort of brings me to your book that you've written. It's One
yes.
Step at a Time, right? So that was not only, you wrote it as a children's book, but I know when I read it, I just love how simple the reading is. I love the beautiful artwork, your craft that you show in the book. And, you know, before we talk more about your book, I just wanted to say how your labyrinths and your embroidery is great. It's so beautiful. Like, you see all the different designs that you've created in your book, but also your labyrinths that you create, they sort of remind me of Braille, that I would think that it could work for someone with vision impairments, that this could be
yes.
a great walk for them. Have you ever considered promoting your work in that avenue? For,
yes,
you know, for,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I chose the yarns I did, and especially the main labyrinth that is featured in my book. It's a very thick yarn, and I actually stitch my labyrinths on canvas drop cloth, because the weave
oh,
is
nice.
Loose enough to allow that thick of a fiber to move through it. But I really wanted that big feeling. My kids actually can use them as marble runs. So
oh, wow.
the texture, the tactile element is the walls are high enough that they can hold a marble as it rolls through. And that main labyrinth in the book in real life is, I think, 15 inches wide. So
oh,
it's
wow.
Quite large, yeah. So that's my, I'm a tactile person. I wanted to be able to feel it. I wanted, sometimes my eyes get dizzy with too many lines,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted something that I could trace without having to trace it too hard with my eyes. And so that was part of my intention, yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, your work is really beautiful. And if everyone should get the chance to see your work and read your book, and you're going to read your book for us tonight. But one more going on. So you have 5 kids, right? And how
yes.
did you get them involved with the labyrinth? Was that an easy task? Because children, their minds wander. So how did you get them involved in working with you with the labyrinth?
Well, speaking of some of those early Chakravayu labyrinths that I stitched, I started making those into rice bags and into throw pillows.
Oh,
and
wow.
so... We started using labyrinths when the kids would start to feel overwhelmed, or they couldn't sleep, or they were feeling just angry or overstimulated, and we started saying, okay, just come. We'd call it the maze, because labyrinth was a big word for their little mouths. But we'd say, come just do the maze. Come sit with me and let's do the maze. And even the littlest can trace through a labyrinth, because there's no wrong turns. And you always will end up somewhere. And so they get so proud of themselves when they make it through. And I just thought, this is such a simple, the archetype is so simple. And children need some of these simplistic anchors to hold on to. And so we would talk about, just in passing as they trace, look, you're going back and forth, and oh, you're almost there. Oh, no, you're not. You know, like, oh, no, you're all the way on the other side. And continuing to trace and just sort of work some of those conversations into the tracing, but even more so just letting them do it and letting their mind kind of rest in that container of mindfulness for a minute. And then I started to formulate the eventual metaphor that I used in the book. Because I was stitching them, we would talk about, you know, these tangles. When we are looking at these problems in our lives that feel so tangled up, we don't know what to do about it. But if we come back to the breath and just take it one step at a time, then, you know, eventually that tangle becomes something that we can see a greater path in. And so especially as they get older, you know, I have a 12-year-old and an 11-year-old. They're in middle school. They have friend problems. We had to handle school closing for the pandemic. We had to handle all these different things. And we would talk about, no, we can only do one thing at a time. And, of course, Frozen helped me out by using the next right thing, which also was a phrase that I loved from Glennon Doyle, who's used that in her writing before. And as I mentioned, when I was going through some really tough stuff, that became a mantra from her writing, doing the next right thing. And so that, you know, became the one step at a time in the labyrinth. And with the kids, okay, we can only do one next right thing at a time. Can you fix anything with your friend right now? We can't. Let's just take one step. We can go to bed. You can get rest so you have the energy to face it tomorrow. And we just kind of use those ideas. But I got to the point where I wanted to be able to explain those principles to the kids in a really concise way, in an easy-to-share way, because I was beginning to share things with friends and family members. And I wanted to have something that I could say, here, this encapsulates my feelings about the labyrinth. This is something that you can bring to your family and understand. So I had a desire to create something of that nature.
Ah, that's wonderful. And then here we have your book. So that helps bring it all into a solid picture of your work, of what you've done, and how you're taking it one step at a time as well. And your children, do they walk the labyrinth too? Do they use it as a problem solver for them as well?
They do. They use it in varying degrees. And I have one child in particular who she gets really wound up pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And she has a lot of just intensity in her emotions.
Yeah.
And once we went to sit outside, and I said, I'm going to time you. How fast can you get to the middle? And she just started running the labyrinth in the frozen earth, just running. And by the time she was at the middle, she was laughing. And she, you know, I did it. I made it. How fast was I? I bet I can make it out faster. and you know, you're getting that bilateral stimulation, that walking meditation, the directions changing. It's kind of helping your, even neurologically helping the brain unwind. So she's not thinking, I'm going to go and take a labyrinth walk because that will make me feel better. But she's in it and it's working on her anyway.
Right.
And so, yeah, they definitely do. And they love when friends, new friends come. They love introducing the labyrinth to their friends. And we had some family members over for a pancake breakfast, and there were a whole host of little ones walking the labyrinth at the same time. And you can watch each one. You can see the ones that are thinking, now, wait a minute, I already walked over here. I know I did. And then you can see the ones who are just plowing through. And I would talk to their parents. I would say, is this one a little bit logical brained, you know, she really want to make sure she's doing it the right way. Oh yes. You know, you can see it in the way that they interact.
Right.
And then it gives you insights as a parent. How does my kid feel when faced with a challenge? You can watch that show up in their walk.
Oh yeah, that is true. I've noticed that when I've done my labyrinths, how they gravitate towards the labyrinth. And you can tell how they're walking,
mm-hmm.
like either if they got something deep on their minds or if they're just plowing through it, you know. Some are just having
mm-hmm.
fun. You can just see that energy, and I think that's really great. And that's because I sometimes wonder why children are attracted to the labyrinth, because I think it's because they know it's this mysterious thing. You know, it's a nice archetype, but they don't understand that right away. But it
mm-hmm.
just helps them. You know, it before you know it, it just naturally, you know, helps them solve problems. Or they come out like maybe more like, I don't know, I guess like as we do when we walk it, we come out
mm-hmm.
with clarity. We come out with, you know, we're reflecting. So it works.
Yes.
I think it works.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's that balancing effect that I mentioned. Sorry to cut you off.
No.
It's that balancing effect that I mentioned earlier, because if you bring a child with a lot of excess energy to the labyrinth, and or an adult, but someone with a lot of excess energy, or you've got racing thoughts, or you've got an abundance of energy, and you walk, it's given you a place to kind of rein that in a pattern, right? In a way that's
mm-hmm.
that's set and designed. And if you have someone who's really trying to control things and really trying to follow the rules, it's going to allow them a safe place to let go of the rules and let go of figuring it out and relax into it. So it can rein in or help you to relax into, depending on what you're bringing to it. And I think especially for children that's true, because, you know, what child doesn't need a place where they can run the longest distance between two points to kind of bring in that energy. Or that rule-following child who eventually needs to say, you know what, I can't figure this out. I'm just going to walk and see what happens and learn to relax and to trust and to let go. And our kids, oh, man, the kids are smart. They're dealing with a lot. And they need tools like these to just be supports. I love children's literature that helps understand or helps explain and teach bigger principles like this into something that you can sit down and discuss with your kids and interact and teach and learn, and they can ask questions. I think it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's not only does the labyrinth, it just welcomes transformation and reflection on so many different levels. And the fact that it's helped balancing the right and the left side, you know, of the brain
mm-hmm.
activity or just the body in general, I think that this is, it's a gift. is such a gift to walk the labyrinth, and it's a great thing that children love it, and they don't understand it, not right away, but the fact that they walk it, run it, get through it, see it as a challenge, you know, they're creating change for themselves, and I think that's so beautiful. And your book, One Step at a Time, is incredible. It's a such a great understanding for children, or even, like, I love reading it myself. It just reminds me of some of the books that I would read when I, you know, when I started out learning about things and just, like, going on. And such your beautiful fiber artwork that's inside your crafted labyrinths. I mean,
It's just also beautiful.
It's also beautiful in the photography. Did you do the photography, or was that the photography of Aubrey Bateman as well? Did she do it?
Most of the photos are mine. There are two that Aubrey took, but most of them are mine. And then she, as my graphic designer, was able to digitally place them all into the hoops. So they all looked perfectly balanced and uniform. And so that was a huge help, because it just helped it to look so clean and simple. I wanted it to feel bright. I wanted it to feel minimal but colorful, and to sort of let the book itself feel like a labyrinth walk.
Yes, it really does. I agree. I look at it and I'm like walking as I'm reading. This is amazing. Yeah. So can you do us a favor? Can you, like, read your book for us, please?
I would love to. Reading it out loud is my favorite thing. So
excellent.
You don't have to twist my arm too hard.
Okay, great. Thank you, Natalie.
And anyone listening along, if you're able to have a labyrinth in front of you. You can Google an image, or if you have one in your home, a finger labyrinth that you like to use, just imagine that the labyrinth that I'm describing, rather than being the fiber art in my book, is whatever labyrinth you're working with, you're looking at, you've walked before, anything like that. Cool. This is a labyrinth. It might look like a maze, with trick paths and dead ends and lots of wrong ways. But a labyrinth is different. There's one place to enter and one long winding path that leads right to the center. At your very first look, it may seem quite complex. What's the secret? One step, then the next, then the next. Sometimes you'll walk forward and then double back. You might start to worry you're on the wrong track. Or you'll walk near the center and think you've arrived. Then the path winds again and you pass it right by. But the more that you walk, the more that you learn to trust in the winding of unexplained turns. This isn't the puzzle you saw at first look. Each step was just right. It's the step that you took. When you reach the center, take time to be still. Slow your breath. Close your eyes. And just feel what you feel. When you're centered and calm, you can listen and be, as your deep inner knowing has space to flow free. The walk out feels different. You've done this before. The pathway still winds, but your steps are more sure. You're curious, open, and not so afraid as you look with new eyes at this path that you made. And each lesson you learn settles into your heart as one step at a time, you head back to the start. If a challenge you're facing feels tangled about, overwhelming, confusing, with no clear way out, think. The labyrinth once felt unsolvable, too. Pause and take a deep breath. You can find your way through. Remember the secret. One step at a time. Release expectations and open your mind. Then come to your center. Receive quiet strength. Whatever you're facing, you've got what it takes. And on the return trip, reflect and explore. There is so much to learn on a journey like yours. Yes, life's full of labyrinths of all shapes and sizes, complete with unique twists and turns and surprises. No one else can walk for you, but you're far from alone. We can, all of us, share where we've walked, learned, and grown. So as I honor your path and you honor mine, together we'll make it, one step at a time. The end.
Ah, that's beautiful. That is truly a labyrinth walk. Wow.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I mean, this is wonderful. So, well, and even on your book, you say the more that you walk, the more that you learn to trust in the winding and unexplained turns. I think that's wonderful. It's wonderful. So you're going to be at an event coming next weekend, and you'll be selling your book there as well, right? You're going to be at the Labyrinth Society's The Gathering, right? That's taking place October 22nd through 24th, and you're going to have a vendor's booth, right?
Yes, that's right.
But if some of our listeners cannot make it there, even though it's a virtual event that's taking place all evening, where can they contact you to purchase your book?
The book is available at onestepatatimebook.com. One Step at a Time, just the full title, book.com. There's
excellent.
No punctuation in there or anything crazy.
Excellent. Yeah, I recommend that. This is a perfect book to get. Just reading it is just so relaxing. And in your mind, as you're reading it, you can totally, you know, not only do you have the visuals of your amazing fiber art work, of the labyrinth designs, but just as you're reading it, you can just see your mind like just going through the labyrinth, and you know, whether you're tracing it with your mind or your finger, you're just going through the labyrinth and one step at a time. Perfectly said.
Yes.
Wow.
If you'll let me share one of my favorite things that ended up happening as I designed this book, I have sitting here on my desk with me, the very first prototype that I made, which I cut out. I found out how many pages children's books are supposed to have, and I took the papers over to my sewing machine and stitched them down the center so I could try to see what could go on what page, and it's all pencil, and it's printed out words that I cut out and taped onto the pages to just try to guess maybe what might want to be on what page. And when I did that, it turned out that the center of the book, which of course was my stitched line, was where I talked about the center of the labyrinth.
Oh.
And so that carries over, and that sort of helped to lead to making sure that the whole book read like a labyrinth walk, and if you look, Athena, at your copy of the book, where it falls open to in the center, where those staples are, I specifically chose this version of binding. It's because it falls open to the center. And so the first portion of the book is telling you about it and letting you know what to expect and walking you in. And then it falls open to the center. And then on the way out, we integrate what we learn and we apply it to real life. And so that's how the book is designed. So it's, I always love that when I get to that page and it falls right open to that center. And that's why we chose that big, beautiful illustration. That's one of Aubrey's photos on that center page.
Wow.
So that's a little nugget of information for you.
This is great, though. It's well thought out. So it's not, you know, this is a well intended, not only through words, but also through imagery, your images. The center, I love that. That is perfect. I'm looking at it right now. And the center, the center of the labyrinth is right there. I just love that. It just really takes you on a journey. Yeah, and the integration near the end and the whole experience of the whole labyrinth in the community. I love this. Definitely.
Thank you.
Folks, go out and buy this. This should even be in the Library of Congress, in the library, because there's not a lot of books on the labyrinth for children, not unless they're written so this would be a perfect book for that. You know,
that was one of my desires was, like I said, I wanted to be able to share it. And there are some amazing books written about labyrinths and labyrinth experiences, but most of them are for people who are ready to dive headlong into the labyrinth. And and not everybody's there. And I wanted something that I could offer that could just say that this is what it is. Do you want to learn more and make it feel really accessible to any age and any interest level? Because my family members who only know about what a labyrinth is because they're related to me enjoy it with their kids as much as, you know, some of my mentors and master teachers who are authorities on labyrinths. And I think there's something really beautiful about that.
Yes, and two, you showed the other designs and shapes of other labyrinths, which is great for people to see because they'll look at them. Whenever I work with someone and they're not familiar with the labyrinth, they say, oh, it's a maze. I'm like, no, it's not. You know, and here you show all the different types and all the the shapes and the sizes. So if anyone came across any one of these, they would know that it's a labyrinth. And the fact that it's just beautiful. So I wanted to ask you, too, so a lot of your labyrinths that you have in the book, are they available for purchase, too? Or can someone buy your labyrinths?
You know, I'm working toward having some in stock to sell, but I'm also trying to work toward having some kits available so that people can stitch their own as well, because they are a time-intensive project. But I find that, and I'm sure I know that you as a labyrinth maker as well, that making a labyrinth gets you in all of the same places that walking one does, if not more. I really love the spiritual practice of making labyrinths. And so eventually I would love to be able to share that either in a pattern book or instruction book or some kits. So I'm working on that, and y'all can let me know if that's something you'd be interested in too, because then maybe that'll light a fire under me to go faster.
Oh, I am sure that people would love that kit. They will buy it because, you know, it gives everyone a chance to be an artist and to create a labyrinth in the process.
I love that these hang on my wall, and then as I'm speaking with someone and sharing about the labyrinth, I can just pull it down and say, here, trace it, and then I can hang it back on the wall. It's art, but it's useful, and it serves a purpose. It's a utilitarian as well, very practical in my home.
Yeah. Wow. How did you graduate from doing the fiber art labyrinths to doing a full size labyrinth? Now, was that easy for you to graft the labyrinth bigger?
Well, I love, like I said, I love making labyrinths, and my mentor Syl that I referenced earlier, her big, beautiful 45-foot labyrinth in her backyard, I had helped her do maintenance on.
Okay.
A couple of springs ago, I worked with her on that, and that's when I really knew I wanted to do labyrinth summer school and go and be able to not only get the Veriditas training but work with Lars Howlett as well.
Right.
Because, as I said, I learned from YouTube, from Lars, how to draw the patterns. But I really wanted to know how to make bigger ones because I loved working
easy
in the dirt with that.
Yeah.
For me in particular, it was very challenging because I was diagnosed with a health condition right about the end of March 2020. I started having a lot of vision problems and problems with dizziness and was eventually diagnosed with a condition called IIH, which is extra spinal fluid on the brain that can kind of mess with your equilibrium and your vision and different things. And so I was working on getting that sorted out, and that was the summer that I had meant to build my labyrinth. And I thought it was going to be the labyrinth that I built, you know, with my sweat and my bruises and dirt under my fingernails. But with this condition, I wasn't able to bend over. I'm doing better now that I've been on medication, but especially, or this was early on in the diagnosis. And I was sleeping a lot. I couldn't bend down and move around a lot. And I couldn't be out in the sun because the light hurt my eyes. And so I was really devastated because we'd sort of been working towards this labyrinth and preparing the space. And what's really amazing is that my husband and my children and even some dear friends of ours really came together, and I would direct them what they were to be doing, and they built me a labyrinth that summer. And I would sit in my chair as long as I could be outside, and then I would go in and take a nap, but I would come out and watch, and I'd give ideas, and I'd come over for a minute and kneel down and place some rocks, and then I'd have to get up and go sit down because I couldn't change position like that. It was a labor of love, and my kids and my husband gave that to me as a gift. I went in, they did all of the circles, and I went in and put in the turns and kind of muscled through to be able to put in the turns, which was hard work, but we did it.
Wow. That's a beautiful labor of love story for sure. Wow.
Yes.
And so how do you find yourself being with the labyrinth? Has it changed, or are you healing better, or how do you work with the labyrinth for now?
Yes,
the physical labyrinth.
Yes, I'm doing a lot better on the proper medication, but I do. I oftentimes with my labyrinth will walk in or out, and not both. Some days the changing of directions is too much, but it's also affected some of my stitching. I'm doing much better. When I was very first diagnosed, it was very challenging for me to embroider. In fact, if you look at the Chakra Vayu Labyrinth in the book, it's purple on the page. That's the collage. It's quite wavy, and that is the first labyrinth that I was able to successfully stitch after my diagnosis. For a long time, I couldn't look too closely at all of those lines. My eyes would cross, and I would get nauseous, and I couldn't do it.
Wow.
So coming to the point, and then all of these other ones came really the beginning of 2021, when I was doing better on the right medication for longer, and I was able to do a lot more. But I included that one, even though it was wavy. I had one that was more perfect, and I said, no, I want this one to go in there because I fought for that one.
Right. Wow, I just love how they all look. And even though you were going through some medical changes at the time, I mean,
yeah.
It still looks great. You know, it's. I think perfection is. Let's see, is subjective. I mean, I even say to myself, like, my labyrinths, they never. The lines, I went to art school and I still can't draw a straight line. Even when I make my labyrinths, I can't draw a straight line. So I call them organic labyrinths. That's what I say to myself. You know, and it's like, you know, I'm like, these are organic labyrinths and they're not perfect. I'm not perfect. That's not who I am. The intention is there and the creation and the experience that you'll get, you know, is your own, but the intention to welcome you to have an experience is there, and that's what's important. And looking at that the work that you've done, your fiber art labyrinth craft, and looking at this Chakra Vayu, it's so funny. When I look through the book, I look at all of them, and my eye goes right to that. And I do love the waviness of it because I when I look at it, I'm like, wow, can you imagine when you're, you know, using it as a handheld labyrinth, how you'll feel the texture of that. And that, you know, you're having an experience as you, you know, walk along the path. Just feeling the waviness of it. I think that's beautiful. It's really
beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Wow.
I've got to tell you that little yellow one on that page is based on your rice labyrinth on Instagram. I wasn't sure what my last pattern needed to be. And then I scrolled through Instagram and I saw your rice labyrinth and I was like, there it is. That's what's missing.
Oh, cool.
Quickly
nice.
Put that one in. So there's a little bit of you in here, too.
Oh, great. Thanks. Yeah, I love that one, too. Yeah, my rice labyrinth. And that's another organic experience. I just happened to have rice in a jar sitting by the table when we were doing class. So,
It's so beautiful.
Oh, wow.
I love it.
Nice. Great. Cool. Well, this is great. Thank you for sharing your story, your life, your journey of the labyrinth and everything, and where people can purchase your book. And, because we're cutting down to time now. And is there any other place would you like people to keep in touch with you, or can they write to you at onestepatatime.com as well?
Yes, I believe there is a contact spot there, and you can also link to my Instagram through that page, or if you'd like, you can find me on Instagram. My handle is andso2grow, which is a reference to a line from one of my favorite poems, but "and so to grow" is my Instagram, and you can see that's where a lot of my fiber art is. A lot of my labyrinth content is there on Instagram.
Great. So thank you, Natalie, for being here today. And please get her book One Step at a Time. You'll enjoy it. It'll be an excellent gift. It'll be a great gift for yourself. So it's definitely something, a book to invest in. So we have some upcoming events that are happening in the Labyrinth world that I want to share with everyone. And we have an event that's coming up the weekend of October 22nd through the 24th, and that's the Labyrinth Society Annual Gathering. It's actually going to be a virtual event, and you can go to labyrinthsociety.org/annual-gathering, and you can sign in there, sign up for the weekend event. And when you go there, you can go to the vendors cafe, and there you can find Natalie's there as a vendor, and you can buy her book there or buy it online as well. And also you can go to Veritas. Veritas, they have an event that's coming up where you can take a workshop with Lauren Archeris and Judith Tripp. Lauren Archeris as well wrote a book called The Path of the Holy Fool. And from there, they're going to have a workshop based on the book. And you can go to Veritas. Let's see. You can go to veritas.org, and you can sign up for this virtual pilgrimage, The Quest of the Holy Fool with Lauren Archeris and Judith Tripp. And as for me, I'm Athena Dugan at yahoo.com, and you can go to you can join me October 29th for Drawing the Labyrinth as a Meditation, where we learn to draw a three-circuit labyrinth, and we'll use that as a meditation and just have a little chit-chat for about an hour. And you can go there to at meetup.com slash labyrinth walking, and you can sign up for that for a small fee. And thank you again, Natalie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. Thank you all for listening today. And please, like I say, go out and get One Step at a Time by Natalie Erdman Burton. It's an excellent journey of the labyrinth, and you can see inside her incredible fiber artwork, her embroidered labyrinths, and definitely it's quite the meditation, and you can learn how to walk the labyrinth, or there's no wrong or right way, but you'll learn how to walk a labyrinth, and you can meditate in the process. And thank you, Hercules Invictus, because if it weren't for you, living labyrinths would not be possible. So thank you, everyone.
I'm truly honored.
And have a good night.
Thank you again. And thanks to everybody who tuned in. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Take care.
Bye.